Good evening. Now, you might hate sport. You might have seen Mo Farah on the screen and thought, oh, goodness, I thought this was an Olympic-free zone. There might be very many good reasons why you just don't relate to sport one iota. But the reason we've called this sermon series Olympic Nights is because God's word often uses the sporting arena by way of analogy to help us, whether we are into sport or not, to understand more of God's purpose for our lives. It does this in many places, and we're going to look at one of them right now. And if you've got a seat Bible, which are no longer the pew Bibles, could you turn to page 1210? Or you might have got your own Bible. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to look at this analogy, as Jenny said, from the world of running that he gives to you and to me, whether you're a runner or not. We're going to begin by just looking at the first verse. Page 1210, or your own Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It follows a chapter describing, we could call them heroes of the faith, characters of the Old Testament who ran their race. That's an analogy for fulfilling God's purpose, doing what God called them to, running the course that God put them on. And then this chapter begins, "Therefore, having heard about all of these other runners," as it were, "since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." How do we get perseverance? Or another word for that, endurance. Let me tell you a little story. The first race I ever ran was at Harrow County School for Boys. It's got a different name now, but it's still the comprehensive, just down the road at the bottom of the hill from the famous Harrow School that you might have heard of. I was 11 years old, and we got to school in September, start of school term, and you had a choice of two sports. You could do either rugby or cross-country running. Now, rugby was the cool sport because the school, Harrow County School for Boys, were the county champions. We got the won the South of England championships and even got to the finals, the national rugby champions. If you were in the rugby squad, I noticed this very early on. There was a certain strut to your walk. And so that's what I wanted to do. You were sort of like a demigod in the school. I kind of liked that. But after 2 weeks, Mr. Etherington, he was our school PE teacher, he came up to me and he said, "Mortimer," you know, we weren't on first name terms. This was back in the 70s. It's what you called pupils. He said, "Mortimer, have you ever thought of trying cross country?" Good teacher. It was his way of saying, "You're hopeless at rugby. Don't even think about it." Might surprise you looking at my body stature, but back then I just wasn't really equipped for running. I discovered something I was better suited for. And I know one thing about cross-country running, that you need perseverance. It's the image God gives us of what we need to run the Christian race. An analogy, a picture for the Christian life, not like a race in the sense that you're meant to compete against others, but if you look at this picture, all the runners at the start line of this marathon have a clear direction in which to go. So if you look at verse 1, the connection with the Christian life is the race marked out for us. All of the runners in the race have one goal to get to. And there's one quality that the best and the least of them, the slowest of them needs to run it, it's perseverance or endurance. A definition for endurance that the long-distance runner needs is the inner strength to keep going when you don't want to. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's my idea. I think that's a good definition. That's what it feels like to me in the middle of the race. The something, the je ne sais quoi, the perseverance, the inner strength to keep going when you don't feel like it. How does God give you this? Number one, his word makes it clear we are not running this race alone. He's got a race for you. He's got a purpose for you. You don't run it alone. Look at verse 1. There's a great cloud of witnesses. For a start, that means all those who have run this race, who've lived this sort of life before us, who've knocked on God's door, as an analogy Jesus gave. They've asked God, they've sought his will, they've knocked on his door, asking, what is your purpose for my life? They've found it and started running it, just as many people across the centuries have done it in all sorts of different ways. One of them mentioned in chapter 11 was Noah. He was a zookeeper, amongst other things. Another one mentioned was Abraham. He was a parent, a father of many children, amongst other things. Another was Joseph, who, amongst many other things, was a statesman, the equivalent in his day of prime minister. They all fulfilled God's purposes and needed great endurance, which in other sermons you could find out about, or maybe you know. To keep them going and to keep us going, we need encouragement. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, both those who have gone before, but also those around us today. God wants to encourage us, a word that literally means to give courage. In the first century, the people receiving this letter to the Hebrews needed our courage particularly. And they will have connected with the word witness, which in the Greek is martus, and we get our English word martyr from that. That's what some of their witnesses, brothers and sisters in their church in the first century had literally been. They've been martyred. You need a lot of courage to run a race if death could be the consequence of it. You need endurance to run a marathon race like the runner setting out here. And you need a lot of encouragement to keep going if death might be one consequence. It's what they had. And that's what God wants to give. Jesus' promise to his disciples before he left them in the flesh was that he wasn't going to leave them as orphans, and he'd send one he called the Encourager. That's the name he gave to the Holy Spirit. And one person who also had this title was in the Greco-Roman world, someone, the commander of an army, who would give courage to the troops on the eve of battle. That this is a work of God that he did in Noah's life when he was being mocked, that he did in Abraham's life when he was waiting for years to become a parent, that he gave to Joseph when he was languishing in prison, that he gives to you if you will receive it. How do we get courage? How does that work? Well, we get it, we're meant to get it, from one another. Read the Old Testament. The New Testament. Read the New Testament, and this phrase, one another, keeps cropping up. Where Jesus works and speaks in particular is when his people come together, when two or more are gathered in my name. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says, look at verse 2. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Or verse 3, consider him, Jesus. What does that mean? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, considering Jesus. Have disciplines, places in your life, which as an athlete needs certain disciplines and habits. So to run the race God calls us to, we need the discipline, the habit of considering together, of fixing our eyes together on Jesus. Places where our focus is Jesus and his Holy Spirit and his word, who like a dad on sports day is cheering his children on. That is a picture, a true picture of what God our Father in heaven, along with a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, wants to do, giving courage. Find your race and keep going in it. That's what the Spirit is saying. He calls us to run the race, not with speed, not with talent, but with perseverance. Part of your race and mine, part of your calling, is to be part of a church. Maybe it's this one. Church meaning the gathering of God's people, and to encourage one another. Getting to know somebody, more than one somebody, well enough to know and sense something of God's calling on their life and saying to them, just keep going. Or that the ministry of encouragement is just listening to somebody when they're struggling to keep going. I'm going to invite us in a couple of minutes, in a few minutes' time, to just model that in a sort of microcosm way. Everybody in the race to keep going needs encouragement. We get it from the Holy Spirit as he speaks through one another. But endurance doesn't only need encouragement, it needs wisdom. There's some practices that help you to keep going if you're a long-distance runner. Going back to Mr. Etherington, remember him? Harry County School for Boys, rugby, don't think about it. You remember him? He's the guy. Well, he encouraged me after I got a little bit better to join a local club. I did that. But still, my first love, actually, at the age of 13, 14, was fishing. And one day I was fishing in Casterbury Park, it's near Watford, and my new running coach in the club passed by on a training run, and he stopped. And he said, Jonathan, because in the running club we actually won on first name terms. It wasn't Mortimer, so it was going up. He said, Jonathan, he said, you can fish when you're an old man. He said, perhaps I should take it up. He said, you can fish if you're an old man. If you want to be a good runner, you need to start running and training. You know what? In all seriousness, I stopped fishing that day. I'm not saying it's a sin, but it's just saying, if you want to get good, just keep the main thing the main thing. I did. The Christian life is the same. Look at verse 1 again. Let us throw off everything that hinders. The word in the Greek can apply to putting off a bit of clothing, like a heavy coat, that you don't need in summer. It's like wearing the right thing, or putting down a weight. There are some things that might be like habits that take hours and hours of your time, but do nothing for you. I've got the habit of watching Olympics at 2 a.m, well, that might be okay, but it might leave you wrecked the following day. Why not come to church? You can see the highlights in church. Or the following morning. What starts as a way to relax then becomes this. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles. What starts off as a little hobby becomes, very quickly in all sorts of ways, an addiction. Fix your eyes on Jesus. This is talking about your inner eye, the direction of your thoughts. Am I aware? He's speaking to us about your race, his purpose for your life, moment by moment, and we don't hear him. If our mind is entangled with other stuff. It's why we need safe places and safe people to share the stuff, the real stuff that's going on in our lives. It's why we have different groups here at All Saints. We're not in the business of filling our lives with religious activities, but with activities that help us run God's race. One of them is women's breakfast. For example, there's men's breakfast going on at the same time, 6:30 in the morning. What's the point of that? To share lives and to have a focus on Jesus so we can help one another throw off everything that hinders. Another group I'm not in and hear about, the men's support group. Brothers in Christ helping one another, as maybe goes on also at women's breakfast, to live more like Jesus wants us to. We need encouragement. We need our wisdom to run well. And finally, we need to be reminded of what our goal is. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, verse 2, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The reason Jesus is the one who ultimately gives true encouragement is because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. And the place in his life that he was tempted the most to give up, what was that? It was the cross indeed, and just before the cross, the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the place, just before the cross, where he's tempted to come out of the race. He even sweats blood, so great is his agony. What kept him going? It was the joy set before him. What was that? His Father's will. God is cheering you on, and he wants to say to you through one another, well done, good and faithful servant. The good and faithful servant is the one who's not necessarily on top of the podium. As we said before, he's not calling us to run a race successfully or better than others, simply to run it with him with perseverance. And our goal is that we could fulfill all God's purposes for us. A beautiful verse I often quote, a theme running through Scripture, speaks of the good works that God planned in advance for us to do. That's just another way of saying the race is calling you to run. What are those good works? You could say, I've got no idea at all what they are. Somebody else could say, well, I've got a clue what I might be called into, but there just doesn't seem to be any way of getting onto that course. Or you could say, I really feel I'm doing what God wants, but goodness, it's so tough. He calls us to be together, to minister to one another, whichever of those groups or any other category you're in, to encourage one another to discover the good works God wants you to do. To help one another to run with wisdom, to give one another encouragement when the going gets tough or no doors seem to be opening. At All Saints, whenever we have a vacancy, whether it's in our paid staff team or for a ministry that's unpaid, we're looking for the personal people who God is calling and who are going to have deep joy in what they're doing. There's a whole load of things that God calls his church here to be involved in. And Jesus, whose yoke is like light and whose burden is easy, is looking for the person to partner with, part of whose good works is to do this thing. If you're doing something that's just a chore and drudgery, that's not right. It's going to be tough. It takes some enduring. There's a cost to it, like there's a cost to a race. But goodness, God, by his Holy Spirit, the encourager, wants to give us one fruit of the Spirit as he gave to Jesus, who for the joy set before him, even endured the cross. By the grace of God, in this age, this country, at the moment, none of us are called to be a martus in the sense of dying physically. But there's a little dying God calls us to, a cost. The joy set before us. Right now, we're looking for a new ops director. Had 8, I have to say, amazing applications for this incredibly strategic job. As we embark as a church community on the race set out before us, which in 2 years of discerning, we believe is a whole site redevelopment. These chairs are just the first little bit of that. There used to be pews here, in case you didn't know. This is your first time here. And we're asking God, as we've asked for his blueprints, and we think we've got the beginnings of it. It's outlined on the welcome table at the back. This is the race God's calling us to, this community. And if you're part of this church, one of your good works is to pitch in somehow. What the river that God's caused to flow here. It's begun in 1867, I'll tell you. I finish with this. 35 years on from Mr. Etherington and then the running club, I was running a race. It wasn't the Olympics. It was the over 40s Sussex Championships. Really important stuff. And we had a team. You need a team of 4. I was the fourth scorer in the team. And I always remember coming up the final hill in Horsham Park, where the race was being held. And our coach, Pete Bennett, said to me, "Come on, Vicar." That's what he called me. It went from Mortimer to Jonathan to Vicar. He said, "Come on, Vicar, for God's sake." He was trying to be religious, I think. He said, "For God's sake, keep going. We might win this thing." The coach reminds us of the goal, which in human terms is to win. Jesus, our coach, is cheering us on, reminding us of the goal, the great purpose he has to work through his people, for fruit that Jesus said will last, for the good works he intended from eternity, for eternity and from the beginning of time. That there's no greater goal. And what I'm going to invite you to do for 5 minutes only, a few minutes, no more than 5, is to ask yourself, or if you're up for this, in threes, to get together in threes, to ask, what is the race God is calling you to? What is the race God's calling you to? You're saying, well, what is my purpose? What is God's purpose? You could say, I have no idea. Can I suggest you need to find out? That's the purpose of the church, to help you find out. You could say, well, I think I know, but it's just so difficult, such a struggle. Or you could say, I think I know, but there's no door opening. Our purpose is to encourage one another wherever you're at in life. And you could be sharing with people who you've never met before, so you choose the level of disclosure that you wish, or to consider that before I finish with a prayer, which will then go into a prayer in song for God's race for us to be clear. He wants to give you and me his encouragement, his wisdom, his reminder of the great and eternal goal.